All right. Welcome everybody to Hebrew Club, Modon Ivri. And we are on 1 Samuel 19, verse 19 actually, right in the middle of the story in which David is on the run from Saul once again. If you remember earlier in the chapter, he had to escape the spear. And we pick it up right in the middle there. I think we can get through. There's some interesting things at the beginning of chapter 20 as well. Remember, he is in Gibeah, and actually David has fled to Ramah, and we'll keep seeing that throughout, which is north. And I pass that map around, and I'll keep passing this thing around periodically so we can kind of keep track of David in our minds here. He's going to be on the run for a while. So verse 19, Vayugadlet Shaul lemor, Hine David Beth Nayot Barama. And it was told to Saul. That's from Nagad, and that's a hafal, lot consecutive imperfect, from Nagad. Remember, this thing usually occurs in the hip field to tell. Here, it was told. All right, welcome everybody. We're on chapter 19, verse 19 of 1 Samuel. I'll wait till everybody kind of gets seated here. Again, we're on verse 19, and we're right in the middle. Saul's trying to track down David. Okay. So it was told to Saul, saying, Hine, look, David is in Nayot. If you'll notice, there's always a Kerei Ketiv reading with this word, because the Vav and the Yud kind of constantly get mixed up. So they actually want you to read, it looks like, Nayot on it. All right, even though there's a Vav there. And it seems to be a region, Barama, in Ramah, as we will see. So something more, a more specific place there. Okay? Any questions about verse 19 as we're kind of getting off here?
How do you know you're supposed to pronounce it the other way?
Okay, because notice that you have the vowels. That this is one of those Kerei Ketiv readings. So what you always want to do when you see that is read the vowels. So notice you have the comments under the nun, so that would be na. They don't want you, they want you to not pronounce the yud, is what it looks like. So they have na yot. Alright? And I think that that's how the Kerei is asking us to read it. And I believe that that's the correct way to read it. It's kind of hard to see, and I think we'll see different spellings of this word. I didn't really track it, but in a number of places, I think we do. So in other words, when you're writing Hebrew manuscript, the Vavs and the Yuds look a lot alike, and they get mixed up. I think that's what they're trying to say.
The Kerei reading is out in the margin.
The Kerei reading is in the left margin. So notice the Yud and the Vav are switched there.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, no big deal. But we'll see where it is a big deal in chapter 20, as a matter of fact. Okay, verse 20. Vayishlach Shaul Malakim Lakachat et David. So Saul sent messengers, Malakim, Lakachat. What's the root of that?
Lakach.
Yeah, Lakach, it's an infinitive construct. And notice its purpose. He sent messengers in order to get David. Okay? Vayar. Okay, notice that this is from Ra'ah, and it's a call, imperfect Vav consecutive, very common. The note, I think, has plural. Notice there's a lot of manuscripts and versions that have the plural form because they assume that the subject is messengers. Alright? But it could also refer to Saul, he realized. But I think it does, the subject is clearly the messengers. They saw, as we'll see from the context, they saw et lahakat haneviim. They saw, and lahakat simply means the band of prophets. Okay, so it's in construct with haneviim. Nibim. Okay, what's the conjugation of nibim? Looks like a peel, it's not. It's a nifal participle from nava, to prophesy. Okay? Notice that the participle is a supplementary participle after a verb of perception. Saw a band of prophets prophesying. Okay? Ushemuel and Samuel, Omeid Nitzav, was standing, a simple call participle, was standing as a Nitzav, as a leader. This is another nifal participle used as a substantive. And nitzav, I think it only occurs in the nifal. And so here, it's usually translated, he was standing kind of as a leader, alehem, by them or over them. Okay. Now look what happens. It's interesting. Vathi al mal keshaul ruach Elohim. And it was upon the messenger of Saul, the ruach Elohim. The Spirit of the Lord came upon the messengers of Saul. Now, va yit nabu gam hema. Okay, what's the conjugation? First of all, what's the root of va yit nabu? Nava. Same one as before, but this is not a nifal, it is a hitpael. And you'll see this exchange. We've seen this before. What's the difference? It's really hard to say. Most translations suggest that this is some kind of ecstatic experience, and I think we've talked about that before, but I mean, we're not really sure because we don't even know what the nifal form was or how they're different, see? But it seems in these verses to be the same kind of phenomenon, I would think, because the Spirit of God came on them and they, gam hema, also they prophesied, see? All right. So I'm not sure what the difference is in the meaning of the nifal versus the hitpael with this word. Right. Questions about verse 20? Okay, verse 21. Here's our hitpael. Yeah, please.
Because you said that this happens in other places.
Right. It happened earlier. Right.
Is that only in the book of Samuel, or is this other places around?
We've seen it in the book of Samuel. The hitpael, I think, occurs other places, though.
Genesis 12 with Barak, it uses the nifal, but in other places...
Oh, you mean other words?
Bless one another.
No. I'm just thinking the nifal to the hitpael, you know...
With other
some
roots.
Some sort of change going on like that, where it uses the one and then it uses the other one. And
oh, yeah, I think so, right. See, but sometimes if you'll read I think the Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament suggests that the nifal is somehow a more legitimate form of prophecy, whereas the hitpael is a more kind of frenzied or ecstatic. But I don't know if that distinction always holds out. And here it doesn't seem to.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Vayagidu l'Sha'ul vayishlak malakim acherim. So they told Saul, again that's from Nagad, here's the customary hitpael. They reported it to Saul. Vayishlach, so he sent Malakim Acherim, other messengers. Vayit Be'u Gam Hema, and also they prophesied. Wow. Okay, Vayosef Sha'ul, Vayishlach Malakim Shelishim. Then, okay, here's our interesting construction. Then Saul added and sent. Added and sent. Notice that that's from Yasaf to add. And remember, you see this a lot, and in English we would give it an adverbial force, and usually would translate it as an adverb. Sometimes, or usually, it occurs with an infinitive construct. He added to do something, say he did it again. So here, I think we would translate it the same way. So Saul again sent messengers, Shelishim, a third group. Shalish, a third group. Okay? Vayit be'u gam hema. And also they prophesied. Alright? Interesting. Questions through verse 21. Now the big guy himself has to come. Vayelek gam hu haramata vayavo ad bor hagadol asher ba seku vayishal vayomer eifo shemuel da David vayomer hine Beth Nayot Barama. Okay. So he went from Halak. Gam Hu. Also he, the big guy himself, Saul. Ha Ramata to Rama. Notice here you have the locative hey on Rama, which we don't always have. Also he to Rama. Vayavo, and he came to Bor Hagadol. The big pit, the big well. I don't know what that. Who knows what that means? Some place, which was in Seku. So maybe some region around Rama again. Vayishal, and he asked, and he said, Epho is just a question, where is Shemuel and David? So where are Samuel and David? Vayomer, and someone said, again, notice this, usually you'd have this in plural and they said, but here's kind of an impersonal. And someone said, look, Beth Nayot Barama. He is in Nayot in Ramah. So again, I guess he was close, okay, because he came to Ramah and was in Seku. So these must be regions, you know, referring to some more specific location in that region. Okay. Any questions about verse 22?
What does Banot mean?
Which one?
Banot, the second to last word.
Oh yeah, that one is the region. In Nayot, it's just a region, proper name.
Oh.
That's what you would call it. Probably like St. Charles in St. Louis County or something, I don't know. Okay. Verse 23, Vayelik Sham. So he went there. Nayot, to Nayot, Barama, in Ramah. Now notice it keeps repeating, in Nayot, in Ramah. We know by now where Nayot is. I don't know why, it's just part of the style to kind of pound it in. Maybe there was another Nayot that, I don't know. Okay, here we go. Now we're going down the down part of the roller coaster, as you can expect. Va tehi alav gam hu ruach Elohim. And it came on him, even him, the Ruach Elohim. So the Ruach Elohim came upon him, gam hu, even him. Vayelek halok. Okay, notice this construction. Vayelek is from the root halak. Notice halok is also from halak. And what form is halok?
Absolute.
An infinitive absolute. So notice it follows this finite verb. All right. So it indicates, I think, continuity, continuousness. So you would translate, and he kept going, kept walking. Okay, so and he kept walking and he prophesied. So in good English you might say, and while he walked, he prophesied. Okay? So I think that first vav consecutive construction is subordinate to vayit nabe as a circumstance. And while he walked, he prophesied. Ad bo'o, until his coming. Here's a simple infinitive construct of lebo. Until his coming to Bayot in Ramah. In Ramah. Okay. So, we all know Nayot's in Ramah. If you ever get that on a test, we'll know. Any questions? Because now he really goes down. Now, wait till you see what happens, man. This is bizarre. Verse 24. Vayivshat gam hu begadav vayit nabe gam hu. Lifne Shemuel. Okay. Pashat means to strip. And he stripped also he, Begadah. He stripped off also he, his garments. And he prophesied, Gamhu, also he, Lifne Shemuel, before Samuel. Okay, now when you think stripped garments, okay, he took off his jacket. No. Vayipol harom kol hayom hahu vekol laila. Halayla. And he fell, from not fall, notice, call imperfect, and he fell arom. What do you think that means?
Naked.
That's from Genesis, from the same word in Genesis 3. And he fell down arom, naked. Now here's accusative of extent of time. All that day and all halayla, all night. Whoa.
So he was naked the whole time.
Evidently. Al kein yomru. Therefore, Yomru, they were saying, Hagam Shaul Banevi'im. Here's a question. Notice the interrogative, hey. Is also Saul among the prophets? See, it's totally interesting. And we just, you know, you just wonder what the heck's going on. I mean, the other prophets, you wouldn't think they were naked because they were walking around. Unless Samuel and they were all naked. But here was an extra thing that Saul happened to Saul. This is what makes people think that the hit pile is more this frenzied, kind of ecstatic experience. This kind of behavior that seemed to be attached with it. But notice it seems to indicate a kind of a total, it seems to me to be a negative experience, not a positive one, you know, for Saul. But yet it was the Spirit of God, not an evil spirit. I mean, so there's just a lot we really don't know. Gary.
This phrase, "is not Saul amongst the prophets," reminds me back when, mm-hmm. you know, the blessing, I'm wondering
right.
what use of Nabi was used then. Was it a Hiphael or was it a...
I think it was both. I think we saw them both too, because I remember them. Yeah, I'd have to look again.
Okay.
But I think
I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was in a more positive sense there. I remember when Saul was looking for Samuel and he started prophesying when he came to the city.
Yeah.
Saul also won the prophets.
Yeah.
Well, here again. Very strange. And I don't know what to make of it. It's the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, see. Good. Any questions through this point? Any other questions? All right, verse 20. Vayivrach David, here we go again. Now here notice the spelling. And they still want you to read Minayot, even though there's two vavs here. So the manuscript has two vavs. Minayot. Okay. Barama, in Rama. Vayavo, Vayomer Lifne Yehonatan. Okay. So David fled, Barak, from Nayot in Rama. And he came and he spoke to or before Jonathan. So he probably went back to Gibeah. Somewhere like that. Okay. Meh asiti. What have I done? From Asa. See, what have I done? Meh avoni umeh chatati. What is my guilt? And what is chatati, my sin? Lifne avika, before your father. Ki mevakesh et nafshi. Now notice the force of ki here. I think that it... would be translated something like this. He certainly is seeking my life. Mevakesh is a PL from Bakash. So notice against what he's going to have to convince Jonathan of, who might disbelieve that his dad's after him, especially remember in the previous chapter they'd made peace. So David's insisting that he is after him. So he is seeking my life. All right? Now notice what Jonathan says in verse 2. Vayomer, Jonathan's a subject. And Jonathan said, lo, to him, Chalila. Okay, here we have, notice you can see the root in it, Chalal, which means, at least in the call, to defile or to pollute, Niphal, to be polluted. He said to him, but here it's an exclamation of kind of an impossible thing. So it's usually translated, far be it. Or this can't be Chalila. It's an exclamation.
Okay.
Chalila. Yes.
How do we get that from being polluted? I mean, I know that they don't always match up, but I mean, those are really...
Well, okay. Yeah, this is an idiomatic expression. We see it all over. So it's just, what you're asking is, what's the force of this word in the context, and how would we express that same force in English? And so, that you know, we might say, far be it from... far be it, or it can't be true, or something. You know, we have a lot of kind of different ways that we express surprise or shock or disbelief. So I think that's what this Chalila is doing.
What would it be literally?
It's usually translated. It is. I don't think it's used in the Old Testament this way, but it would be something like a profane thing.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, in more slang, it might be something like that. Chalila, yeah. See, we have all these expressions for expressing emotion or tone or something like that. And this is one of those words in Hebrew.
One of my good friends back in New York, something would be like, "May it never be."
Yeah.
Chalila.
Yeah.
Just,
oh yeah, yeah. There you go. Right. Right. See. So notice how he follows. Lo tamut. You certainly, you will not die. You shall not die. This is from Mut. So, Chalila, can't happen. You shall not die. Hine, look. Okay, now I want you to look very carefully at this. Here's where the text is really garbled. See the two words with the little letter B's in front and behind? The first one, it looks to be the pronoun lo, to him. But notice the second one has a vowel without a consonant in front of it. Okay? That's because they're suggesting that this reading is not the right one. There's the Kare reading, what they want you to read, instead of the Lamed Vav, they want you to read Lamed Aleph, which would be the negative not. And they also have a note that this is, see that on the margin, says Chad, Min, Gimel, then Kof, Tav, Vav. This is one of three places which is written where Lo is written with a Vav instead of an Aleph. This is one of three places that the Masoretes have said is written with a Vav instead of an Aleph. If you want to know where it is, see that Gimel number one there? You just go down to the middle apparatus and it's the Masorah Magna 1639. So you have to go to a volume in the library written by a guy by the name of Weil, W-E-I-L. Look up number 1639 and you find the three places where Lo is spelled with an Aleph, not a Vav. I tried to find it with accordants, and there was like 5,000 instances of Lamed Aleph, so I gave up after I got through Genesis. I go, I don't have time. But I could have, I think I could have done it because they had them tagged. They had this one in parentheses. So if you do that, notice they want you to read that, and then for the verb, they want you to read the imperfect, Ya'aseh, and that's also in the margin, see? So they're suggesting that the proper reading is Lo Ya'aseh, Lo Ya'aseh. Look, so it would be translated, my father, look, let my father will not do davar, will not do a thing. Great, or I think it should be, my father does not do a thing great or a thing katon, small, velo yigla et ozni. And he does not uncover my ear. Does everybody see that? And he does not uncover my ear. Ear is ozen. It's one of those easy words that we don't use very often, but we got it. You guys probably got it in the first couple of lessons of Hebrew. I don't know why we use, why it's such an early word. I guess it's an example of a certain verb form. But anyway, this is ozing my ear. So it's really, my father does not do anything big or little without revealing it to me. Mm-hmm. See, without it's more literally woodenly, mm-hmm. uncovering my ear. But in English we'd say, he doesn't make a move without consulting me. That's kind of the gist of what he's saying. Okay? Umadua. So why, Yastir Avi? So why would my father Yastir hide Mimeni from me et hadavar hazeh, this thing? See? So why would my father hide from me this thing? Ein zot. This, see, this is not. This can't be. This isn't true. Alright? So notice Jonathan still is having trouble believing. Good. Any questions through verse 2? Okay, we'll do one more verse and then we'll stop. Okay. Vayishava o David vayomer yadoa yada avika. Okay. David swore again. That's a nifal from Shavah, to swear. David swore again and said, yadoa yada. Here's another infinitive absolute. Okay. My father well knows, or my father certainly knows that. Here's again after a verb of perception, you have an object clause started with ki, very common. My father certainly knows or knows well that I have found, from matzah, chen, grace be'eneka, in your eyes. Vayomer. So he thought, al yeda zot yehonatan. Do not let Jonathan know this. Do not let Jonathan know this, lest Yatzev he become grieved. This is a nifal imperfect from Atzav. Atzav has two meanings. One is to be sad, be grieved. Another one, which you might have run across, is to form or to fashion. So you have a number of words that overlap with very different meanings that look the same. So you have a word for idol, otsev, or etsev is idol, but otsev can also mean grief, as well as etsev can mean grief. So they're kind of two different meanings with the same root. So lest he be grieved. Ve'ulam, but, here's a very strong adversative. I looked this up, and ulam occurs something like 19 times, all but three of them, and those are in Job, have the vav in front of it. So I would just translate it. But, Chai Yahweh, as Yahweh lives, here's an oath, and Chai Nafshecha, and as you live, by the life of your soul, indeed, ki, certainly, Kepesa means step. It's a hapax. Okay? Certainly, but a step is there between me and between Hamavet, death. Okay, so again, let me translate that thing. David again swore and said, your father certainly knows that I have found grace in your eyes. So he thought, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he become grieved. But, see, a strong adversative. And now he follows with an oath. As Yahweh lives and as you live, certainly, here's the force of the key, certainly, only a pesa, only a step is there between me and between Hamavet, death. Okay? So, I mean, he feels Saul quick on his heels. Good. Any question through verse 3?
He can use that Amar to be like, I saw it.
Yes, and we've seen that a number of times, even in here, where it seems to have that meaning, because Saul doesn't necessarily seem to be speaking to anyone, or David's not supposing that he did. He may have, but then we have to again supply, he said to his men, or something like that. Okay. Good. Anything else? All right. Thanks for coming, you guys.
Thank you.